Thanks for listening to the Triple D Podcast. Donuts, disability, and discourse. Rate, subscribe, and tune in next week for more discourse and donuts.
Welcome to the next episode of the Triple D Podcast. I want to start by talking about, I'm very excited, we're in February, which is American Heart Health Month in the United States. And we're getting it kicked off here on the Triple D Podcast with a really special guest. I've got Michelle Rothenstein here, who is a, instead of me describing exactly what you do, just because it's unique, you do consulting for people to help them live healthier heart lives. Explain that for us, Michelle.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here. So I'm a registered dietitian and I specialize in cardiovascular disease in the prevention and management of heart disease. So what that means is I am helping people live a healthier life and improve their cardiometabolic risk factors through science-based nutrition. So we're looking at improving your cholesterol, your diabetes markers, your inflammation, your blood pressure, optimizing your blood vessel health through including foods in your diet that will help make your heart work more efficiently and better. I see individuals in the primary prevention state, but also in secondary prevention. So individuals who've had heart attacks, strokes, who are in heart failure, who have cardiomyopathies, who have AFib, who have medical diagnosis within the cardiovascular space as well.
And I'm glad that you answer that because something that I was curious is where along the line people come to you. Do people come to you, you know, I am 38 years old, you know, when I go see my doctors, they tell me that I'm heart healthy, but you know, you always want to optimize. You always want to do better. Do you work with individuals who don't have any necessarily reason to believe that they have a heart condition or they're at risk of one, but they want to avoid it?
100%. So it's kind of all over the spectrum, and it really just depends on the individual. There are some primary care doctors who will advise individuals to do a coronary artery calcium scan, which assesses for plaque in the arteries. And when they have one above zero, it means that they're in the active atherosclerotic phase. And those individuals have a higher risk of heart disease. So many people will come to me from that angle. Some people will have a very strong family history of heart disease. Others have found that their labs are starting to trend in the wrong direction. Their physician wants to put them on a statin, or they've tried a statin and they have muscle atrophy and they're not feeling well on a statin. And so they want to improve it with diet. And then there's also individuals who've had heart attacks, who've had AFib, who have all of these diagnoses and come to me. But either way, it really is about looking at where you are now and what can we do to improve your longevity, your health, and your risk factors going forward. So I see all individuals, but all within the heart health space.
You mentioned diet. And you know, there's always kind of the age-old question that I'm curious to know how you view it in terms of heart health. You know, people always want to know, how do I improve my health? Do I need to change my diet? Do I need to exercise? I imagine it's some of both. But when people ask you that, how do you respond?
Diet is so, so important. You know, it's interesting because I get a lot of individuals who come to me when they're older and they're like, after they implemented diet change, like, Michelle, I thought that I was just feeling like this because I'm getting older. And I'm like, no, you didn't have the nutrients your body needs. Most people who come to see me do not eat terrible foods. It's not the issue. A lot of people say, you know, I eat healthy, but they define their diet based off what they don't eat versus what they actually are eating. So they have a lot of nutrient deficiencies. And when that happens, you're going to feel more fatigued. You're going to lose stamina. You're not going to be able to walk up that hill as easily as other people. And so we need to make sure that nutrition is paramount. That's A. And then B, your exercise is super important for longevity because it helps with your bone mass, your muscle mass, your fatality, your mobility, your motility. All of these things do matter. So it's not just one, but they all work synergistically together. If you just prioritize exercise, you're you're not allowing for nutrition to optimally affect your physical performance. If you're only looking at nutrition, but you're not looking at stress and hydration and sleep and exercise, you're not looking at the full picture of health. And all of these things can cause differences in hormone balance, cause different things in our bone structure, can cause more osteoporosis, osteopenia. It can cause more of hormonal issues when women are going through menopause. There's so many things that we need to take into account when we're looking at optimizing health. It's really all of these lifestyle modifications. But as we get older, we need more nutrients of certain right? And so if we don't add them in our diet, you're going to feel more fatigued and tired, and it can show up later as issues from a metabolic standpoint.
So these nutrients are so important. And I mean, are there like commonalities in terms of people who they know they're not eating cupcakes and donuts all day, so they think that they're eating healthy, but what are the nutrients that you find that are essential that people are lacking without really even realizing or thinking about it?
You'd be surprised. It's a large magnitude. It's everything from like vitamin A, magnesium, potassium, manganese, L-arginine, nitric oxide. Many people are just not getting enough. And it's funny because people will say, I eat fruits and vegetables. And I'm like, that's great. We still need you to have adequate amounts of protein, adequate amounts of heart healthy fats. We still need to also evaluate the balance of your food, the pairings with the food to make sure that they're bioavailable. For instance, vitamin D, vitamin K, vitamin A are fat-soluble vitamins. If you don't have them with a heart-healthy fat source, your body is not going to actually absorb those vitamins in its optimal form. So we need to be looking at that whole picture. And it's complicated. I wish it was just as simple as, hey, eat more fruits and vegetables and go on your merry day. There's a lot more to it. So we need to piece that in and make sure. And also, as we get older, individuals are on medications and they can be life-saving, but a lot of them deplete nutrients and no one tells you about it. Like take, for instance, protein pump inhibitors, take acid reflux, right? Someone is told to go on a PPI for their acid reflux. They've been on it for 15 years. Has anyone told you that it's actually a short-term drug and on the packaging, it actually tells you after 6 months, it's no longer supposed to be used? No. Why? Because B12 gets depleted. Your B6 gets depleted, your magnesium gets depleted, and your stomach acid gets depleted, which is going to have an effect on all of these nutrient absorptions. Right. And so we need to understand that we need to couple all of that together to make sure you're getting optimal nutrient sufficiency.
So what's your process for this? I mean, you have given so much good information that I'm going to have to go back and re-listen just to make sure I understand it all. But like somebody comes to you, they're like, Michelle, help me. Where do you start?
So great question. So it's super important that we're understanding that science-based nutrition needs to have a personalized element to it for it to be effective and for it to work. So we need to kind of dig a little bit deeper. So with my private clients, I'll look at their lab work, I'll look at their medications, the supplements they're taking, and we'll have a 90-minute conversation. It takes me about 90 minutes to ask my 1,000,005 questions to be like, let's find out what might be the cause why these things are not optimal. So I'll ask questions about hydration, family history. We'll deep dive into, you know, the day-to-day operations, the lifestyle they hold. Because, you know, if you're traveling all the time, the plan has to reflect what that looks like from that perspective. I'm looking at nutrient deficiencies in that evaluation. I'm looking at stress. I'm looking at sleep. I'm looking at your bowel movements, your acid reflux history. I want to understand what is going on and what do we need to tackle first. And that's important. I always ask all of my clients to check their waist circumference so we can understand, is there underlying inflammation? Is there insulin resistance? After we do this, I also go through, what do you like to eat? What are your food preferences? What do you avoid? You know, what does cooking look like? You know, if you have your shoes in the oven, I worked in Manhattan for most of my career before COVID. I would say 98% of my clients did not cook one meal. They didn't even have a pot in their kitchen.
Wow.
Because if you know Manhattan, the stove, there's no way you can cook. It's like so cramped and uncomfortable. So with that being said, I want to make sure that the plan that I'm creating is going to work long term. anyone can do anything for a couple weeks or maybe even a couple months. But when we're talking about heart health, the longevity of your diet plan is paramount. So I want to make sure that this is something that we can realistically implement, but also long-term. So knowing kind of what you like, what you don't like, your cooking style, if you eat out all the time, your wife cooks, your partner cooks, you cook, what is it? What are your family dynamics? So you're not cooking five different meals for five different people. Those are all important factors in my ability to create a plan that will work for you to reach your goals. And so after I do all that, then we come in and say, okay, you know what? I want to focus primarily on your breakfast, or I want to primarily focus on your lunch. We prioritize one meal at a time. We prioritize something in exercise. We prioritize something in maybe sleep or stress management. So that way it's not overwhelming. Oh my God, I have to think about all these meals and all these nutrients. I can't do this. I give up. Instead, it's like, okay, that's doable. Those four things, easy. They're able to do it. And sometimes they're like, you know what? That was challenging and I couldn't get to do that. I'm like, you know what? That's why I'm here. Let's talk it out. Let's realize what can we do to make it more effective in your lifestyle, right? I had a client yesterday who said, you know, I'm already having a smoothie. You told me to add in the berries and the spinach and this, but I just didn't like the way it looked. I'm like, okay, let's scratch that out. And she's like, I guess I could try it again. I'm like, you didn't like it. I get it. It gets brown. You don't like the color. It's fine. Why don't we do something on the side? So we actually created an alternative where she can have those polyphenols on the side after her workout instead of putting it in. So what I'm trying to say is it's easy to change all of these things as long as you're having that open conversation and you're implementing it. And you, in the back of your mind, you're really assessing, I like this. This is enjoyable. This tastes good. I can do this for a long time with feeling nourished and good. And as you start doing things and start seeing more energy, you feel better, you're sleeping better, you're moving better, and your labs come down within that 3, 4, 6 month time period, it's more easy to kind of keep it long-term versus thinking of this as a fad diet or a fad trend. And so it's really a personalized experience and also a learning experience. I'm very big about you need to be an advocate for your own health. So you need to understand what the heck is going on. You know, I do this every day. So I'm very aware of how cholesterol metabolism works in the body, for instance, or blood pressure, but I know my clients aren't. And as much as you can Google things, Google is not always the best source. It's not always accurate in terms of what you're trying to find. So with what I do is I'm going to explain to you, hey, we need to add in more nitric oxide rich vegetables because it opens up your arteries. It allows for vasodilation, which if you open up your arteries, if they're in a constricted state, it'll help lower your blood pressure. So I explain to you the why behind the recommendations and explain to you how much you need for this to actually be cause an effect on your blood sugar levels and your blood pressure levels to give you a therapeutic value. So it's really personalized, but geared towards specificity for you so that you can be successful.
So, you know, I always try and bring this back into the perspective of my average client. And it's hard to say that I necessarily have an average client there, every variety of person imaginable. But, you know, because my clients are out of work, and that's why I'm helping them, I'm trying to help them get money from the government because they can't work. Oftentimes they need to find cheaper solutions for things, you know, so they want to go to the grocery store, they want to go to the gym, but they can't afford a gym membership. So, you know, of course, advice would be when it's nice out, see if you can walk outside or maybe find some household items to do some like, you know, light or basic other type of cardiovascular exercise. But let's talk about the grocery store. What are some like cheap tips that you can give people when they're resistant to, oh, I can't go to Whole Foods. You're trying to put me on, you know, some expensive diet that I can't afford. What would you advise somebody that really had to be on a budget as to how they could live a heart healthier life?
Yeah. So first off, I'm always big about you do not need to go to a Whole Foods. You can go to your local store. If there's a Trader Joe's, a lot of times that's kind of a cheaper option too. This brings me back to kind of an assignment I had a while ago in school where you had to pretend that you were on food stamps and you had to go and eat on a heart healthy diet using food stamps and figuring out how to kind of divide that portion. Go there and look at what's on sale. You do not need to eat a certain, if someone tells you, you have to eat X, right? But some other items on sale and it's equivalent to nutrients, use that. I love frozen vegetables because they're usually cheaper. And can I tell you that they're higher in nutrients, especially during certain periods of time of the year, because they're picked, they're flash frozen, and then they're put into the freezer. So they retain more nutrients than, let's say, you live somewhere cold and it's shipped all the way across. It's sitting on a truck for a while, and now you're eating it. So frozen vegetables are always a good option. You can also use canned varieties of fish, beans. Those are really high in plant-based protein, soluble fiber. That's going to also help. You don't need to necessarily get everything, you know, very the most fresh quality. We oftentimes think that when we preserve it, it's not as good, but canned varieties that are low sodium or no salt added, our frozen vegetables are always a good option. And then also our whole grains are relatively very cheap staples that we can also add into the diet. So as much as it's intimidating to, oh, I need to buy all these healthy foods, you don't need to buy the packaged foods that are marketed as heart healthy or vegan or the fancy cheeses. If you go down to the basics of, okay, what's available for me and how am I going to pair this to get the nutrients I want, you can eat on a very slim budget. You just have to do a little bit more planning in terms of what's available in that price range.
I want to get to know you a little bit. So tell me, I mean, is there something in your past or a particular interest that you've had over the years that took you down this path to, consulting in the way that you do now?
It's a good question. So I actually, when I was in NYU, I was going underneath the pre-med route, and I was in pre-med, I was in nutrition, and my dad's like, you know, those are two different residencies. Like, you can't do both of them. And I was like, okay, so I need to make a decision. This was like my second year of NYU. And I decided to shadow a clinical dietitian in the hospital. And I was there and we were talking, having a great conversation. And we went to see a 35-year-old male who was having an amputation on his leg from diabetes. He had diabetes when he was little. And we went to speak with him. And he mentioned how he was told to take his insulin. He was told to take all these things. But he never thought nutrition was a big deal because no one ever brought it up to him. And had someone sat with him and talked about it, it could have saved that amputation from happening. And that kind of hit home for me in terms of our healthcare is really backwards in some ways. You know, like we're always about treatment, but we never talk about prevention. And I'm seeing it, and I see it often how even tests that are preventative, doctors a lot of times won't do it. Because there's no treatment protocol for prevention. They won't get paid for prevention. There is just so much of that. And so that's when I decided, you know, I have a calling to actually give people better quality of life. If I really focus in on the preventative nature of this and making sure that we tackle this. So that's when I went into clinical nutrition as like, okay, that's what I'm doing. And then from there, I did my residency. I finished all of that. And I kept seeing this pattern. I'd be in the kidney clinic. I'd been in the liver clinic, the ICU, the weight loss clinic. And everyone was kind of just honing in on one thing. You're in the kidney clinic. They were like, okay, just don't have potassium, don't have phosphorus. You're in the liver clinic. Okay, don't have too much fat, don't have too much carbs. You were everywhere you were going. It was kind of like different things that they were emphasizing. And I was like, this is weird. I took a step back and I was like, the number one cause of death globally is cardiovascular disease, even when we were in the midst of COVID. Okay. And why? When we look at the research, 80% of it is preventable through nutrition and lifestyle medicine. So what are we doing wrong? And when you very go deeper into that and you do the actual research, there's too many different types of things that people are being told to do, not to do. It's all conflicting, but we're not really honing in to blood vessel health, cardiometabolic function, blood flow. And that's when I decided to really hone in, because our heart pumps blood through every organ of our body. If you optimize your blood flow and your heart health, you are optimizing all organs of your body. And so that's when I decided I want to be a cardiovascular dietitian to create awareness. You can do something about this if you want, and if you take an empowered approach. That's A. And then B, making sure that we're really honing in to heart health, because a lot of the healthy diets are healthy generally, but when it comes to heart health, it's not that healthy because it's not targeting the specific parameters that we need to target for cardiometabolic improvements. So that's kind of my long story of how I got here. But after that, I started working with cardiologists, lipidologists, electrophysiologists, heart failure therapists. And so I really honed into the science behind cardiovascular disease. And that's kind of where I stuck. And I really see a lot of great improvements with nutrition. And so I love what I do. And I have a really big passion for it.
And were you always working independently? I mean, or were you working in a hospital for a period of time?
Yeah, so I was working in a hospital for a period of time. I also was working always in a private practice. So I was working for another private practice for the same period of time that I was in the hospital. So I work in the morning from 8 to 3 in the hospital setting. And then at night, I go straight into private practice. And then I want to say 9 years ago, I went independent.
Wow. And I don't know how it works with dietitians. I know, when you're with medicine, you need to be licensed in a state. Are you able to, for example, I live in Ohio. Are you able to help patients in Ohio?
So I am not, I'm not in network with the insurance, given that I am a very specialized dietitian. Depending on your state, it doesn't really have a reflective of that. As a registered dietitian, though, given that I'm also do group coaching, the group coaching allows me to see anybody in any state. It's not specific, so that helps. And then in terms of just one-on-one, it would depend on the state from that perspective.
Got it. Well, Michelle, you've given us so much good information, and I really appreciate your time. How can people find you? What's a good way for people who want to learn more, maybe find out about some of the group programming that you do? How can they find out and reach out?
So you can reach me on my website, entirelynourished.com. And on there, you can also click through my social media where you can get a lot more tips and see a lot more of just free complimentary heart health prevention tips that I offer. You can also sign up to my email list where I send out a couple of emails a month that also gives you just a lot of great heart disease awareness and prevention tips too. So I'd love for you to follow me. I'd love for you to engage. I really just want you to take care of your heart, no matter where you are in your heart health journey. So please give it a follow so you can learn more.
Well, I really appreciate it, Michelle. I know from my own experience helping people that cardiovascular health is just so important and so underestimated by so much of the population who doesn't understand the importance of really staying on top of it. So I hope some of the information that you shared reaches people and helps them think a little deeper into their nutrition and diet, and maybe reaching out to you to see how they can improve things.
That'd be great. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Triple D Podcast, Donuts, Disability, and Discourse. Rate, subscribe, and tune in next week for more discourse and donuts.